Primetime Sports is brought to you by Bodog.net. Join Bodog today.
The most intelligent conversation, along with passionate and exciting debate. And if that fails, he can always resort to name-calling. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
No, they're not going to do it. They never do it. They never play. Well, he doesn't. When the other guy's here, we can talk him into it. Him, not so much. It's Wednesday. Don't talk while I'm talking. I do the show. You push the buttons. Wednesday, October 24th, 2012. It's McCown in the captain's chair. And 4 minutes after 4 o'clock. We shall proceed to taking your phone calls once again today. Are we doing this all week? Rest of the week? All right. Sportsnet has deemed that other programming is more important and potentially higher rated than this show, and so, which is just nonsense. But so be it. Soccer fans have at it. Another game between unidentifiable teams, one in white, one in yellow, are now playing on Sportsnet 1. Oh, and it's an offensive juggernaut, too. It's 1-1. There is no defense. Oh, and someone's been shot, too. Someone's on the ground. Well, he didn't even touch him. Look at that. What a baby. Coming up on the program a little bit later on, the legendary football coach, well, I guess former football coach. He's not a football coach anymore. Dick Vermeil will be with us. I just found out Dick Vermeil has a winery in Napa. Is it in Napa? Sonoma? Napa? Nice. We have something in common. We both like wine. I want to go to Miami. Nick Kyprios of Sportsnet will join us in studio. Of course, we said that yesterday and it didn't happen. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Might happen, might not. John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports. The World Series kicks off tonight here on Sportsnet. The San Francisco Giants will host the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers go with Justin Verlander. The Giants go with Barry Zito. Really? Really? That looks bleak for them, doesn't it? Oh, John Davidson's back in hockey. Got a new job. Not in the NHL. He's with the Columbus Blue Jackets. But nonetheless, it's a job. Well, listen, he'll be able to get a parking spot. That's the good news. He'll join us on the program to tell us about that opportunity. And Steve Zippe, an excellent name, Zippe, of Newsday. Here's the latest. The New York Islanders will move out of Uniondale and into Brooklyn to play out of the Barclays Center starting in the 15-16 season. Really? Maybe? Done deal? Confirmed? Absolutely? No question about it. Really, huh? Good for them. Hope they like hockey in Brooklyn. Brooklyn has a long and storied history of hockey. No, they don't. 870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Topic is yours to choose, anything you want to address. Cox has the day off. We don't know why. Something about junior hockey. Some junior hockey thing. He's traveling out west, went out west to interview somebody. He went to Moose Jaw? Really? What's in Moose Jaw? Oh, Morgan Riley. Oh, very good. Doomed to failure, Morgan Riley, unfortunately, since he's drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Kiss of death. Sad for him. Sad for his family. Maybe he'll get traded. Well, might as well do the story now because there may not be a later. All right, enough of me. Let's have some of you. Don in Guelph, hello.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Okie dokie.
Good. I know you talked about this probably yesterday, but I couldn't get on, and I just want to get my 2 cents worth in. Paul Molitor, do you think he'd be a good manager and a fit for Toronto? And if I had visions, if he came, maybe he could coerce his friend Robin Yount to come with him.
Nah, that's all nice. That's all warm and fuzzy stuff. But I mean, I have no idea whether Molitor would be any good as a manager. I'm a little lukewarm on star players becoming managers, or former star players, if you will. As a general rule, they have a skill set that is above the others and are treated differently than the others and don't really have a history, a sense of what the real world is like. Now, I'm not saying that of Molitor. I'm saying that in general of high-profile athletes. And I believe that's a big factor why they don't become good coaches or managers as a rule. And I would think it'd be even worse today than it was, you know, 20, 30, 50 years ago. He wouldn't be on my list. I've long believed I want a manager with some level of experience. Not necessarily at the major league level, although that would be preferable. But a guy who's managed somewhere. Our friend Buck Martinez. I was not in favor of his hiring. Even though I like Buck and he's a pal. I didn't like the fact that they plucked Buck out of the broadcast booth. And you know what broadcasters are like. They think they know everything. Most of them. And very few of them do. Well, some of them do. And, well, how long did Buck last? About an hour and a half. Like, I think he lasted to the sixth inning of his first game, and then that was the end of him. So, historically, the broadcaster thing doesn't work, and the star player thing doesn't work. Although Buck should have worked. You know, if Buck had spent a year in the minors or something, maybe he would have been, because he's a catcher. And catchers are almost infallibly good as managers. Now, Molitor was neither a catcher nor an average, everyday lump player. What, you're trying to tell me something? Whose record? Buck's? Won 100 games, lost 115. It seemed worse than that at the time. Bob in Scarborough, hello.
Good day, sir.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Don't you think that they should hire somebody within the organization, somebody who's lived in Toronto, who's spent time here and got to know the city, the people, the culture? Because the same thing will happen. They could pluck a guy somewhere to the U.S., and when an opportunity comes from another American city, they're probably going to jump at it. So why not stay within what we got, a guy like Butterfield? I think Butterfield would be a great manager.
Now you run into yet another one of those problems, and that is success rate of managers who were coaches in the same organization. In other words, one day you're their pal, and the next day you're their boss. I'm not saying it can't work. Certainly you could make the argument it worked with Cito Gaston. But again, it is there's a long list of guys who have failed when being promoted directly from one job to another. Now, going in the other direction, not that I'm suggesting that John Farrell will be successful in Boston. I don't think there's any evidence to support that. But I think Boston is far better off because Farrell came here and now goes back. I think the success rate at that is much higher by percentage. Some years ago, we got into this conversation and we did a bunch of research on it, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but it bore out that theory. Far lower success rate if you go from the coaching staff of one club to become manager of the same club. Far better if you come from the coaching staff of another club and become the manager somewhere else. Having said that, Here's what I think about, well, I don't have any opinion on Butterfield. Well, here's what I believe. He has been passed over for the job before. He has interviewed for other jobs and not got them. One would only have to assume that there's something that is preventing him from ascending to that level. I don't know it for a fact. It does give me some pause, though, before I offer an endorsement. Jerry and Barry, hello.
How are you this afternoon, Bob?
Above average, sir.
All right, excellent. First off, I'd like to say, you know, more than likely, Mr. Farrell is probably going to do well in Boston, probably for some of the things you just said, and also the fact that, as we all know in Major League Baseball, Boston is probably going to outspend Toronto by, I would say, at least 30 to 40%. But given the fact of his record and his only two-year tenure with the Jays or as a manager, I mean, really, anything we got from a bag of balls was worthwhile, wasn't it? And do you think we actually have a chance of getting Sandy Alomar, or do you think Sandy Alomar is worthwhile being the manager of the Jays?
I have some experience with Sandy Alomar. When Sandy was playing for the Cleveland Indians and Robbie was playing for the Toronto Blue Jays and I was hosting Jays Talk from Sightlines at Skydome, on at least a couple of occasions, maybe three times, I had the brothers come up to the booth after the game and do the postgame show with me. And here's my recollection of, now Robbie Alomar wasn't the most talkative guy. He was okay, but he wasn't chatty. Like, I could give you a half a dozen baseball players that are very chatty. You say, hi, how are you? And then they'll go for 10 minutes. Robbie was not that. Now, Robbie's command of the English language was fine. I mean, but it's not his first language, so that was probably part of it. As quiet, however, as Robbie was, Sandy was an oil painting. It was like surgery in order to get something out of Sandy. And I remember after the first time, the producer was going to rebook them. And I said, oh, geez, you know, Sandy didn't say five words the last time he was up here. I mean, he's a very nice guy, but he's so quiet. I mean, he can't get anything out of him. He won't say anything. And by the time I made that comment, I found out they'd already been booked and were on their, well, theoretically on their way up. So we did it again, and I consciously tried to get more out of him. So now, being a quiet guy and a reserved guy doesn't mean you're going to be a bad manager. And that really is the only contact and experience I have with him as a person. But it too gives me pause. It would be difficult for me to offer a full heartfelt endorsement of Sandy Alomar Jr. I like a guy with a stronger personality. I think that's important in a clubhouse. And maybe he has all that. Maybe he just didn't want to show it to me. But two or three times, you know, I mean, he never loosened up. I can tell you that. That's my recollection. So he'd, I think he certainly warrants consideration. Other clubs have considered him. He apparently interviews well. Personally, wouldn't be at the top of my list. Sean in Penetang. Hello. Sean. Sean. Sean's not there. We tried. Sorry, Sean. Alex, North York. Hello. You're on the fan.
Bob, good afternoon. A buddy of mine did me a big favor, and basically the payment that he wanted for the favor that he did me was he wanted to attend an NFL game. So I contacted Buddy Mario there through TourSport, who does bus packages down to Buffalo, and went down. I was surprised at the amount of Canadians. I haven't been down there in a long, long time. I was surprised at the amount of Canadians that go down there, and I was down there, and during the game, started talking to a few of the locals, and they, they were telling me thank you nonstop for taking the time, and without our patronage to them, the team would have been gone a long time ago. What kind of numbers? Have you got any idea what kind of amounts of people attend? I wouldn't be surprised if it's at least 50% there were Canadians. Any idea, Bob? Have a good day, and thanks, bro.
Thanks, yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I'd be making something up. I mean, I've seen numbers thrown around before. I've never seen anything like 50%, but I've heard 30, 25, 30%. I have no way of knowing. I don't know. Maybe could the Bills tell us? They might be able to. They could give you a fair estimate. See if we can find out. What percentage of the Bills ticket holders, at least the Bills believe to be from Canada? And I guess the next question then becomes, what the hell does that mean? Because the Buffalo Bills games in Toronto have not been well attended. Now, look, there's a point of difference. Tickets in Buffalo are cheap. Tickets in Toronto aren't. Even with the reduction in the cost of Bills tickets from the outrageous original prices they were gouging people for, or trying to gouge people for, still more expensive. I mean, what are they touting now, that like the entire upper deck is under $100 or something? Well, I would hope so. So the Bills are now saying they average about 15,000 Canadian fans. So the stadium seats 70, give or take. So that's around 20%. No, that's not bad. That's not far from what I'd heard. But again, I don't know what that means. Are those 15,000, do they go to the Rogers Centre when the Bills play there? Well, you can make the argument that they're about the only ones who will buy the tickets. I mean, they have padded the stats, have they not? I'm not convinced that it's a barometer by which we make a decision on the future of the National Football League in Toronto. Not that I don't think the National Football League would be eminently successful in Toronto. I've always believed that. I don't think it's coming, but I believe it would be successful. That's never been the issue. But unfortunately, as fond as we might be for our neighbors to the south, if the team name starts with Buffalo, there are a whole bunch of fans, football fans, NFL fans, who aren't going to support the franchise, who aren't going to support the game. Until you put Toronto on the name of the team, I don't know what you're proving. If attendance is bad, I don't think it's necessarily because people aren't NFL fans. If attendance is great, it isn't necessarily because they'll support anything that you throw at them. I don't think it gives you much of a barometer on anything. 21 past the hour. The phone lines are open, and it is of ye. Speak, and ye shall be heard. 416-870-0590, *590 on your cell. 888-666-0590. Toll free across the country. Jake, Daniel, Gary, Tim, you're next when Primetime continues on The Fan.
At Bodog, we're just like you. We put our sweatpants on one leg at a time. We wear our team's jersey every Sunday. We pick the over, because who wants to cheer for a low-scoring game? And, like you, we'll be there every week of the season, from the first snap of the early games to Monday night's final whistle. Play with us. Play with Bodog. Bodog.net, your trusted source for sports odds and free poker. Join Bodog today.
Brady and Lang in the morning, tomorrow morning, 5:30 to 9. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Big news in hockey today. The New York Islanders will be moving to Brooklyn after the 2014-2015 season. Wonder if the lockout will be over. That'd be a shame, wouldn't it? Move to Brooklyn and still they're not playing. Wow. Back to the phone calls. Tim in Toronto, hello.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good.
Good. Listen, Beeston, this is a guy that seems to me to be a little bit like Teflon because, you know, he makes the deal, and I don't care that Farrell is gone. I think it's really irrelevant. I'm more like you. I would have made him sit or fired him. But he makes the deal, and he lets Anthopoulos sort of answer all the questions. And I don't think the deal's going to blow up in their face, except maybe in a PR way or in a perception way. But it reminds me of when he made the deal with Roger Clemens, and he allowed Clemens this illegal secret out deal, and everybody, you know, hammered Clemens for it, and Beeston sort of like walked away. And I thought, geez, this guy gets involved in some deals, and they don't always turn out for the best, so maybe he should just count money. I'm just not so sure I'm comfortable with him kind of making these kind of deals.
I don't agree with this one. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I suppose if the president of the Boston Red Sox calls you and asks for your permission, do you then say, well, you have to have your general manager call my general manager?
No, but then at least you should answer the question. That's what I'm saying. He's sort of now saying, I refer to Alex, and I have no problem him making the deal, but then he's gone quiet about this whole thing.
Have we tried to get Beeston on? Have we made an attempt yet? All right, we'll make an attempt and see if he will he'll join us on the program. We'll answer your query. We'll see if we can get him on to talk about this. Beeston said he was going to come on at the end of the season, too. What did you say? Yes, come in studio. Yes, he said he would come in studio and spend an hour with us, or two or three or four. Well, four would be ridiculous because we're only here for three. I mean, he could stay, but we'd all be gone. The lights would be out. Wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. Paul in Midland, hello.
Hi, Bob. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
The last few days you've been talking about possible managerial candidates, and I was wondering your thoughts on maybe Ernie Witt. I don't know what I know besides coaching Team Canada. I don't really know what else he's up to these days, but he is a former catcher.
Yep. And I believe Ernie has been considered in the past and has been passed over.
Oh, okay.
Now, I don't recall whether he was a candidate when Farrell got the job. So I don't know whether Alex has an opinion on him, whether Alex has passed him over, or whether that was before Farrell. I just can't recall. But I know his name has been in the mix for several years.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know whether he'd be considered.
Do you think he'd be a good fit?
Look, anecdotally, you hear negatives about a lot of people. You got to be careful how you judge people. I've known Ernie since he played for the Blue Jays, so I've known Ernie off and on for 30 something years. I just got along with him fine. His daughter Ashley used to drive me crazy though when she was a baby, because Ernie's wife used to bring the baby to Grant Field in Dunedin. And this kid was a screamer. And she would be in there crying and screaming the whole bloody baseball game. So, that aside, I don't know. I'd give him an interview. I'd be surprised if he got the job, but yeah, I'd give him an interview. But be careful what you wish for. I get this whole nostalgia thing, let's bring back ex-Blue Jays to manage. I don't know that that's necessarily a good idea. The one upside is somebody mentioned earlier, you know, the fact that they know the city, at least have lived here for a period of time, that can be helpful. I'll acknowledge that. Now, Molitor actually lived here for an entire winter, too, when he was here. He wasn't here that long, but he lived here for the entire winter. I don't remember if Ernie ever lived here all year round. I don't think so. Well, he's a Michigan guy anyway, so it wasn't far for him to go. Ryan in Barrie, hello.
Thanks for taking my call, Bob.
Of course.
So my thing is this. Everyone's complaining about Farrell leaving town the way he left, but it seems that people in Toronto have a small, short memory that about 6 years ago, Brian Burke was wooed to come to Toronto while he was still with Anaheim. And I'm pretty sure I remember that during one of the drafts when he was with Anaheim, he was at the Toronto table while Toronto was making a pick. I just kind of want to get your thoughts and opinions on that matter. Thanks, Bob.
I think it was absolutely wrong. They should never have done him, and I think we should give him back. Somebody call Anaheim immediately. We've changed our minds. We apologize. You can have him back. Well, you want me to say. Gordon Brampton, hello.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Fine.
Bob, in lieu of what's gone on with Alex and the Red Sox and John Farrell, who do you think is going to have more say in the next manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, the next coach?
I'm hoping it's me, but nobody's called yet, and so I'm not optimistic about that.
Because, everybody's saying that it's not Alex's fault, but boy, oh boy, makes you wonder. And is Paul going to let him make that decision 110%?
Yeah, I see. Look, I'm a hard ass. I get that. And I don't make it up. I mean, I just believe in it. I'm not a forgiving person. If you jerk me around, I take it personally. So, there's mistakes and then there are mistakes. And, I'll give anybody 100 mistakes, little ones, nothing things. But you do something big, something that impacts on image or reputation, whether it's mine or this show's, or in the case of the Blue Jays, the team's. And I'm not going to be forgiving. In fact, I'm going to be vindictive. The shortstop wants to write insensitivities on the eye black under his eyes. Okay, you're gone. You can do it. He did it. You got away with it. The manager, I guess, was asleep. Or doesn't know Spanish. And if you got nine, how many Hispanics do we have on the team? Nine. You got to know a little bit of Spanish, huh? And if you don't, you should have said, what the hell you got on your eye thing? What is it? What does that mean? But it was Beeston who decided to, in concert with Anthopoulos, but Beeston ultimately had the choice. Slap him on the wrist, 3-game suspension, and that's the end of that. And now Farrell decides he wants to, become a traitor and go to the Boston Red Sox. Well, I wouldn't have let him. But that's me. Now, who do you blame? Who do you point a finger at? At least in part, Beeston. On both of those. I guess it depends on where you stand on those issues. There's a significant percentage of the population that thinks I'm nuts, that getting rid of Escobar would have been far too punishing for what it was. I don't think so. But I know there are a substantial number of people who think that would have been too harsh. Beeston among them. There's a substantial number of people who think, if the manager didn't want to manage here, then you got to let him go. Well, I don't agree. I mean, I think it's a competitive environment. It's competitive at all levels. You're trying to win on the field and you're trying to win off the field. And if one of your mortal sworn enemies, the Boston Red Sox, wants something you will do that you have that you don't want to give them, or that you think will make them better, or might, or embarrass you, That would have been the short, if I had been the general manager or the president of the ball club, it would have been the shortest conversation in the history of conversations. No click dial tone. And then after they hired their manager, I'd have fired this one. So now you want to go to Boston? In a year from now, you can go to Boston. Jake in Wasega, hello.
Bob.
Sir.
Bob, you're missing what Farrell did. With all due respect, all I've heard on the radio is people blaming Farrell that he's gone to the management and asked to move on. And it's unreal. I can't believe that they've come down on this guy. He did nothing wrong. I had to re-listen to the interview again with Alex Anthopoulos. It went like this. He said, I met him at the end of the year for year end. He said, I told him about all the rumors about him going to the Red Sox. And I asked John, is it something he'd like to pursue? And he said, well, gee, Alex, you know, it's a dream job for me. And then he said, listen, if we don't hear from the Red Sox, if they don't call us, there's nothing we can do. We're going to have to move on. Bob, at that man was set up. They wanted him out of there. After he gets that information, if I'm John Farrell, I'm on the phone to the Red Sox saying, hey, I can leave. Phone them.
He can't do that. He can't. That's tampering. Well, that's fine. Do it.
But I'm telling you, you tell me one reason why Alex Anthopoulos goes to John Farrell and says, would you like to us to pursue this?
What exactly are you trying to get at here?
I'm telling you this.
How are you smarter than everybody else?
No, I'm telling you this. Here's the reason. Beeston wanted him gone because he was embarrassed by this Cabar thing.
If he wanted him gone, he fires him.
But you get something out of this. You get a second baseman, you get everybody to blame Farrell, and you get another year of working on the team.
Yeah, and what you're missing is, and the entire city is up in arms over the Blue Jays being the farm system of the Boston Red Sox, and the image that's out there is damaging to this organization. I mean, you're not taking that into consideration. You mean to tell me that they orchestrated this and now are chortling? Ha ha, we got rid of the guy we wanted to get rid of and we got a player in return. Really? I mean, if you got Dustin Pedroia, I mean, okay, chortle away. You got a guy, what's he played, 120, 130 games in the major leagues? Something? No, more? Yeah, more. Okay, so, well, last year. 128 last year or something. I mean, look at it. He's okay. But he's not a stud. He's not a savior. He's not a difference maker. And I think your argument's silly, to be honest with you. If you wanted to get rid of him, I mean, what does John Farrell make? I mean, he's not making like $15 million a year. Managers are hired and fired all the time. If you wanted to get rid of him, you could have fired him. If you wanted to screw the Red Sox, which is what you should want to do. Why don't teams trade with other teams in their division? Because they're worried about that player coming back and haunting them. Why don't you let a manager go from your team? What happens if John Farrell goes to the Boston Red Sox and 2 years from now wins the World Series? How do the Toronto Blue Jays look? Is this still the smartest move ever? I don't bleeping think so. 17 before the hour on the Fan.
At Bodog, we're just like you. We put our sweatpants on one leg at a time. We wear our team's jersey every Sunday. We pick the over because who wants to cheer for a low-scoring game? And like you, we'll be there every week of the season, from the first snap of the early games to Monday night's final whistle. Play with us. Play with Bodog. Bodog.net, your trusted source for sports odds and free poker. Join Bodog today.
The World Series, tonight at 7. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
If somebody can talk fast. We got like 90 seconds, maybe less than that. All right, Mel, Toronto. Got to go quick, Mel.
Bob, I have to tell you, I'm one that agrees with you 110%. They should have absolutely refused his movement, let Boston get their manager, and then fire him. I am so embarrassed by what this fast-talking Anthopoulos did. That guy shouldn't even be the ball boy sitting at the first baseline next year. We won the two series in a row, and no one would believe it down south of the border. We're still Bush League, and Anthopoulos has taken us back to being really Bush League.
I thank you for the call. I got to go. I here's what I caution you against. Based on what Alex told us the other day, this was a deal that was at least initiated by Paul Beeston in conversation with the president and the owner of the Boston Red Sox, or one or the other. And that, again, as Alex portrayed it, he was the guy who was commanded to consummate the deal, but it wasn't necessarily his decision. Make of that what you will. There's more ahead. Stick around. Primetime continues in a moment.